The following program is a paid advertisement. The views reflected on this show are not necessarily the views of ESPN 1000.
You mean to tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it, and actually played with it? Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was gonna bring it back, but it was signed by Babe Ruth! Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Flies.
King of Crap.
The Colossus of Clouds. The Colossus of Clouds.
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer, Eric Ostrowski. We're on every Saturday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time. You can call us if you have a question about the value of a collectible. The number is 312-332-3776. If you have something you think it might be valuable enough to put in a Huggins and Scott auction, give us a call and we'll put you in the drawing for this week, a 2017 Upper Deck Goodwin Champions box that will be given away to one caller. Or if you tweet a picture of an item to my attention, T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID and we use it on the show, you get in the drawing. That way also was quite the rainstorm coming in this week.
Yes.
I did have my recording going and I had the recorder on my phone going. Here's a replay of me during the downpour coming in this morning. It was one of those days, Bill Huggins, as we were driving in. You had one of those days the other night, one of those nights with the Cubbies and beating your nasty Nats, huh? That must have been a tough one for you. You know,
I'm at the show in Chantilly this weekend, and everybody's moaning and groping.
that must have been a tough loss. I'll tell you, there was a key play that I haven't heard much about. I was talking to Vince about it before the show. The way the Cubs got their ninth run, it was the seventh, and which turned out to be the winning run. It's the seventh inning, first and third, one out. And Chris Bryant hits a hard grounder to third that you think that's a double play. But Chris Bryant is way faster than he looks like he would be. And he hustles. He's
all
a superstar
he hustles.
That hustles full. And he beat that out and they scored the run. That was the ninth run. And it turned out to be a key play in the game. But that's the type of thing the Cubs from top to bottom have such a winning attitude and like they think they're going to figure out a way to win. And you look at the Nationals, Bill, I don't know if this is just for me noticing just these games, but it seems like they've got superstars and some really talented players, but it doesn't just feel like that they're all going together or that we're going to win. We got to win. We're going to figure out a way to win. It seems like they almost have their own agendas. I mean, is that kind of just what I'm seeing from a couple games and it's not, or is that what you've noticed during the year?
Well, they go through little streaks. I think a lot of teams do that. And their problem is they can't get the good streaks at the end of the season, you know.
Yeah, that's, I guess so, yeah.
They just seem to have, you know, there are times where they can't find a way to lose. And then there are times that they can't find a way to win, you know.
Yeah.
Is there any news coming out, Bill, of why Washington lost? Then he, like, the team doesn't have a team focus. I mean, what is Houston paper saying?
Or Washington paper saying? It's a comedy of errors, really. I think that, you know, Leaders let the ball go through his legs and, you know, and then throwing the ball into right field or something. They just.
That was a crazy inning. Yeah. What did they say? That was the four things that happened in that inning have never happened in one inning, ever. they only said it was only a handful of complete games that all four things have happened. But Weeters, that's going to go down as maybe the, if worst inning for a catcher ever defensively, I would think, in the playoffs.
And you can blame the call all you want, but he just missed the ball, and he should have caught that ball.
Oh, yeah, went right through the wickets. Absolutely. It was right there, and then throws it away past not only past the first baseman, past the backup guy, and then he gets a catcher's interference. Everyone's, it's like, I think Scherzer was ready to literally just go back and strangle him.
Did you
see that when Wieters went out to the mound and Scherzer's like, he kind of walked away from like, get away before I punch you in the face.
Yep. And one of their backup catchers, Jose Labaton, gets picked off first base, so they had some catching issues in Washington.
Yeah, they really do. Get rid of every catcher. That's going to be it. Well, meanwhile, the Cubs move on now. Vince was saying before the game he hopes Lackey's in. It looks like it's going to be Lackey or Quintana.
He'll bring the energy. Win or lose, he'll bring the energy that maybe we need in the first game. Just somebody who's got a lot of energy, a lot of passion, and keep that fire and passion up.
Quintana's a really good pitcher, but he seems to not be able to put guys away when he starts an inning with zero or one out and two guys on. He seems to have trouble putting guys away. Yeah. He's always kind of seen.
I'm not going to say the nickname I've made for him on the show, but he needs a little more energy sometimes.
Maybe he'll pitch a shutout for you, and then you'll feel better about him. That would be nice.
Yes.
So, they're moving on. What a game, though. That's going to go down as one of those classic games that you'll be seeing over the years. Now, I get guys bring stuff in. There's in the Huggins and Scott fall auction, there's a lot of Cubs stuff already. So since we're on the Cubs, we might as well keep going with the Cubs here. I had a Mike M. from Naperville stop by with his 1968 Cubs program, and it was signed by Jack Brickhouse.
Hey,
can you imagine how nuts Jack Brickhouse would be going after the World Series last year and then this? If he was announcing that game.
Him and Carey in the booth at the same time would be amazing.
That would have been nuts. So his program was signed by Jack Brickhouse, Lou Boudreau, another Hall of Famer who used to be an announcer for the Cubs. He was actually a really good player. Yep. He was a better defensive player. I was looking up his stats. His WAR defensively was better than I thought. He had one year he was a +3.1 defensive WAR. That's like off the charts.
Didn't he win a World Series as player manager?
I think he did in 48.
Yep.
I think he did. Yep. Len Johnson, who was kind of a nondescript guy, signed it. And then Lloyd Pettit. Boy, Eric, that was great getting that on that fast. I walk in like 20 seconds. Eric's got it on here already. Lloyd Pettit, a shot and a goal. He was famous for that with the Blackhawks. I guess he's not officially in the Hockey Hall of Fame, Lloyd Pettit. They had something, what do they call it? The Foster Hewitt Memorial Award that they give broadcasters, but they technically don't really have him in the Hall of Fame. So that's too bad. He was a great announcer. I mean, Foley's a great announcer, but it's kind of like the Packers going from Favre to Rodgers, going from Lloyd Pettit to Foley. That's a couple great hockey announcers there. So that's a neat program. It's not worth a fortune, and I don't think Mike really wanted to sell it. I would think it's somewhere maybe in the $100 to $200 range. But I like getting those old scorecards and programs signed. If you get them on the cover, they make a cool display.
Sure.
Can be some neat stuff. Now the number's 312-332-3776. You can call if you think you have an item that'd be worth putting in a Huggins and Scott auction, and we'll tell you if it would be worth putting in, and we'll try to give you an estimate of what we think it might go for, and then you get in a drawing. We're giving away a 2017 Upper Deck Goodwin Champions box. 3 hits per box. These are one of those things that, like, Michael Jordan has autographs in there. He's wearing multicolored sweater on his card.
Wow.
But I like it better than I see so many of those North Carolina autographs. It's actually good to have something a little different. They have all kinds of stuff. They have Wizard of Oz memorabilia booklets, I think. All different type stuff in there. Now, speaking of Wizard of Oz.
Great segue, Tom.
Yes.
Well done.
Huggins and Scott in their upcoming auction has a Wizard of Oz autograph lot with 3 signed album pages. Judy Garland, who played Dorothy. The Scarecrow. and Jack Haley, who played the Tin Man. The quiz for you, Vince.
Buddy Ebsen.
No, that he played. He actually, Buddy Ebsen was up for
the Tin Man,
yeah. And I think when the paint, he had a reaction to it and got really sick, yeah, and he had to not right. do it.
That wasn't the question?
No, oh. That's not the question. Who played the Scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz? You'll probably recognize the
if
game
it was
when
a multiple choice, I
yeah.
get it, but yeah. I can't come up with
Ray
it.
Ray Bolger.
Oh, yes.
Ray
yes,
Bolger.
Yes.
So his autograph's yes. in there. Judy Garland's the most valuable one, and then Jack Haley. So they're missing, If I Only Had Courage. The guy that played the lion. Well, I don't even remember that guy's name, to be honest with you. I just had courage.
I think it's Bert. Isn't that Bert
Lahr? Bert Lahr, that was yes, it. Yeah, yes, that was yeah. it. Bert Lahr. That's a good Bill.
Oh, yes. The so depth of knowledge, you know.
Yeah. So one of us is going to yes. have it digging in there somewhere if you dig deep enough. So that has a $200 minimum bid. Then for crazy signed album pages, we've got the Three Stooges individual signed album pages. You know, Curly died in 1952, and Moe and Larry each died in 1975. I didn't realize that. But three individual album pages, $300 minimum bid for those items. Now, Vince, last week we missed The Price is Right, but I think, so we got to get it in early this week to make sure you get it. People were sad during the week, yeah. but we had so many phone calls yes. last week. You know, we had to just
gotta
go with
the calls
phone calls
before prices.
That's right.
right.
Yes. So
there are rules here.
There are kind of yes. semi rules. We don't really stick to them that often, but yeah, we've got some rules. Okay, here's the items. Which ended higher? These ended in the August Huggins and Scott auction. And I'm going to try not to give the answer like I did last week on that thing, on the old thing. Eric, you're going to be in on this guess also. Okay, Triple Crown winners signed baseball. Mantle and Ted Williams are on there. Yaz, Frank Robinson. That might be the only four. I don't know if there were any more than that, but that's a pretty good group. Mantle,
signed
Ted
baseball,
Williams.
You said?
Yeah, Yastrzemski okay. and Frank Robinson.
Any year on it?
Any year?
Yeah.
Easy with all these questions.
Yeah.
Excuse me, sir. You're just
I don't have this information. If I knew the year, it wouldn't help me. So easy.
Yeah, right. Well, we know that right. in 66 and 67, Frank Robinson right. and so Yaz won back-to-back. So it's between
post-66,
that year
67.
And probably
okay.
before Miguel Cabrera did it, all I'm right. going to guess. Right. So you got about a 40-year time frame there. What was it, like $1 million we had in the price range last week?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, that's the first item. You probably don't even remember what it was after all that babbling. The second item, 1951 Topps Redbacks, low to mid-grade, complete 52-card set. Some Hall of Famers in there, Yogi Berra, Warren Spahn, and Duke Snider. And then here's another one. A Ronald Reagan signed presidential like business card. Yeah, would you like my card? Ronald Reagan president. Signed business card. So those are the three items, Vince. Which ended higher in the August auction?
Okay, so I'm going to go with the 1951 Topps Redbacks.
Eric?
I'm going to go with the Triple Crown Baseball.
Oh, okay. Well, for Vince,
surprise,
you didn't win. Eric, he's in the money. Yes. I think that's a first that Eric won while you didn't, where you were both doing it. I think that's a first.
Well done. Let's hear the prices.
Okay. The Triple Crown winners signed baseball, Mantle, Ted Williams, Yaz, and Frank Robinson, $775. Now, this shows, too, that you don't have to have a $20,000 item to get it into the Huggins and Scott auction. Some neat items can be in there that these all sold for less than $1,000. A 1951 Topps Redbacks, that 52-card set, $700. And the Ronald Reagan signed presidential card, $550, which isn't a bad price for a more recent
prices
president.
And pretty close.
That's kind of cool, though, my card.
Yes.
And what do you do, sir? Well, I was president of the United States.
I was
States.
An actor, president of the Actors Screen Guild at some point, governor of California.
Right. He did have quite the career when you think
Born
about
in
it.
Illinois.
Some other items in the Huggins and Scott fall auction. This is kind of an interesting item that came through T-Crown. 1999 Big Ten coaches signed football. I figured it could only be 1999, and here's why. Nick Saban is one of the signatures on it. That was his last year at Michigan State. And then it had Randy Walker from Northwestern. That was his first year. He actually died in 2006, so he was there for, you know, through that whole time. And Kirk Ferentz at Iowa was his first year. And then also it had Barry Alvarez, Joe Paterno, Joe Tiller, who recently passed away. So that was actually kind of a big time for Big Ten coaches having Saban on that. It'll be interesting to see how that ends up. Now he's gone on to be at Alabama, and a lot of people consider him maybe the best college coach in history. Obviously, it doesn't hurt to, you have to, part of being a coach, I guess, is being able to recruit the big-time talent, and he always has big-time talent there. But meanwhile, his winning record there is has just been incredible. So that's a 1999 Big Ten coaches signed football in the Huggins and Scott upcoming auction. Here's another college football type signature. Newt Rockne cut signature from with a $400 minimum bid. You don't see a lot of his. He died in a plane crash while he was still in the 30s, while he was still coaching at Notre Dame. And then we've got a, let's see what else we have here that's kind of interesting. We've got well, here's something for White Sox fans. A 1917 Woodland Bards White Sox versus Giants World Series souvenir patch. It's felt and it's shaped like a sock, but for being 100 years old, this thing is in great shape. You got to see the pictures of this thing. It's called a 1917 Woodland Bards White Sox versus Giants World Series souvenir patch. Check it out at HugginsAndScott.com. Well, it's time for the first break. The number's 312-332-3776. We're on till 8. We're giving away a 2017 Upper Deck Goodwin Champions box to one caller. If you tweet a picture of an item to my attention, you get in the drawing. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on every Saturday morning from 7 to 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. Have something you think might be valuable enough to put in a Huggins and Scott auction? Give us a call. And we'll let you know if it could get in one and try to give you an estimate of what we think it might sell for if it does get into it. Here's a cool item that's in the upcoming fall auction. Bidding begins October 30th and goes through November 9th. I put a picture of this up on Twitter. A Richie Valens signed 8x10, $2,500 minimum bid on this. It's a publicity photo. He died in 1959 in a plane crash at the age of 17 with Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper that were both in the same plane with him. That's the day the music died, yep, is where that song came from, and they call that day with all that talent dying. He only had an 8-month recording career because that was it. You know, he started recording, had 8 months, and then he died in the plane crash. So there's not going to be a lot of these publicity photos out there, so it's going to be interesting to see what this goes for. Have you ever had one of those, Bill Huggins, in an auction before?
I don't think I've seen one in any auction.
I don't think I've ever seen his autograph, and it's cool. I mean, T. Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. I tweeted it, I think yesterday, I tweeted a link to the Huggins and Scott auction site, and then it, with the pictures of it. Another one, looking at my Twitter ID here that I tweeted yesterday, a picture of this one. This is another one that got brought in. Well, the Richie Valens didn't come through T-Crown, but this one came through T-Crown. 1938 New York Giants team photo that has 22 autographs on it, including Mel Ott. So I've got the picture of the photo up there on Twitter, and then there's a link where if you click on the link, it'll take you right to the auction site where you can do your bidding beginning October 30th on the item. I like those old team photos where they signed, you know, in those old pens. And I just loved the look of that. That would look so cool in a nice frame on somebody's wall who's a big collector of, if you collect the Giants or you just like old baseball, whatever it is, that's a cool item. Tim from Elmwood Park is on the line. What do you have there, Tim?
Hi, Chauncey. How are you?
Oh, this is Tom, and I'm with Vince.
Tom, sorry.
And, Chauncey is like, I think he's got some collectibles, but he's not with us. He does a show before us. So what's up, Tim?
So I have one of my parents' friends was one of the last hockey coaches at UIC downtown, and I have an autographed puck with the insignia from UIC on it.
And who signed it?
His name's Val Belmonte. He was one of the last coaches at UIC.
Hmm. Boy, I wouldn't think that would be worth a ton, but, you know, obviously it's a neat item for college collectors. Bill Huggins, anything there? I mean, I'm thinking probably $20 or $30.
Yeah, I don't know that. I'm not really familiar with the person's name there. I guess it was the coach there for a while. But, I mean, kind of a neat item, probably more in the local area type, you know, sellability of it.
Yeah, I agree on that one. Sometimes things are neat for you. You got them yourself. You followed somebody, and they look good on your wall or in your bar room or whatever, but not something that you can really sell to the rest of the world. It'd be a lot of who?
The UIC hockey program disbanded after the 95-96 season, so there's not a lot of you know.
No, not a lot history of history there. Or probably not a lot of collectors there either. Yep. So what are you going to do? Let's see. Oh, that's not an item to our attention. People just retweeting some of the things about that we tweeted. Okay. Some other items that are in the Hugginson Scott Fall Auction. Bidding goes from October 30th through November 9th. There's some neat Cubs stuff. A 1906 Cubs team cabinet photo with Tinker and Chan. Speaking of old photos, this thing really looks cool. 3.5 by 3.5 inches. It had 11 players on it, a $200 minimum bid on that one. Here's a 1945 World Series Wrigley Field Game 4 full ticket. That one's a $200 minimum bid. Some of those old World Series tickets and the first couple years of Super Bowl tickets can do really well in an auction, can't they, Bill?
Oh, yeah, especially like you were saying, it's a full ticket that somebody didn't go to the game on, and those are much more. I mean, a full ticket versus a stub can be 5 to 10 times the value of the item.
Yeah, and especially if they, you know, if they kept it since they didn't have it in their pocket at the game, like a lot of times the stubs are all creased up, they can be in pretty nice shape sometimes. So, definitely.
I'm curious about something. What, you know, if you had a collection, you had Richie Valens, Big Bopper, and Buddy Holly signed anything together versus individually, just the fact that they all died together, would that be more valuable than the sum of the parts?
I would think the three together, if there ever was such a thing, would be a huge money, wouldn't you think, Bill? The three of them together on one? Oh, my God. Because the time frame, they would have almost had to sign it like that day, maybe. I don't know how often they played together, but I don't think they played together at the same venues all that often. I think there was somebody that was going to be on that plane, too, that ended up.
Waylon Jennings.
Is that who it was? Really? Waylon Jennings.
And I guess the Big Bopper had to go home, had some family thing, and kind of convinced Waylon to switch with him, so Waylon stayed behind.
Isn't that something? Yep. Dan from Palos Hills is on the line. What's up, Dan?
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Yeah, I got a 1993 NBA magazine signed by Michael Jordan, and it comes with the certificate of authenticity.
So was he on the cover, and you signed it? Signed on the cover?
Yes.
And who's the certificate? Who certified it?
I don't have it on me. I just know I have it at my parents' house that I've had for a long time.
Yeah, I would think at least a few $100, depending on the condition. That could hit the $500 range, I suppose. It just depends on the condition, if he's in a Bulls uniform, how the cover looks, how the signature looks, all that stuff. But that's good. The Jordan autograph stuff, especially in a Bulls uniform, is really doing well, actually. There's no... like the Upper Deck Authenticated, especially the Jordan Bulls stuff, is really doing great.
There's just a little bit of sadness talking about Michael Jordan in any other uniform at any time ever than Chicago Bulls.
You really forget that he played with Washington for a while. I mean, that kind of blocked that out, I guess. It wasn't, I wonder if he regrets that he did that. I mean, he still could play. When you look at his stats, he was still good, but he wasn't like superstar good, you know, the unbelievable Michael Jordan.
Yeah, we kind of regret that here, too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there wasn't
His great pick, Kwame Brown, you know?
Yeah, Kwame Brown was the first pick. That's not... sound a little bitter there, Bill. Chicago, and now let's see, is there another game that's Washington-Chicago coming up with are the Redskins playing the Bears upcoming? I mean, that might be a shot for you. Oh, speaking of the Bears, I was impressed with Trubisky his first game. You know, at the first quarter, I thought he played great. He definitely needs practice in the pocket, just taking the snap behind center and staying in the pocket and doing his reads and throwing it. But his talent to get out of the pocket and throw on the run and be accurate with it, but with no receivers, too. It's not like you can just put one up for a tall receiver. I mean, their receivers are just not – I'd be running two tight ends every single play. And, you know, you've got the running and just doing off the play. It seemed like the first quarter they were running a lot and doing some play actions, and there wasn't much of a pass rush, and he looked great. Then they started passing more for some reason, just doing passing, and the pressure got on
them. They changed the game plan or something from the first quarter.
It was working great, too. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
I mean, they're a running team. You don't have any wide receivers. Did you see that they actually cut Deontay Thompson?
Yeah, and surprised.
Tanner Gentry's on the team now, so... I hope he gets to play some. He got that one bomb from Trubisky in the preseason. It's somebody throw it deep once. And when you are going to throw it deep once in a while. Have somebody go deep once in a while. I mean, give it a shot.
For sure.
Jake from Coal City's on the line. What's up there, Jake?
Hey, I have two Whitey Ford signed baseballs, both with letter of authenticity.
Those are probably in the $50 to $75 range each if they're single sign, white ball on the sweet spot, and a good bold signature.
Okay, I have a Bob Gibson sign with the letter.
Yeah, probably similar. A lot of the Hall of Famers that have been around a long time and signing a lot of stuff, that's pretty much the price range for most of those guys. I guess Bill Huggins, like Sandy Koufax, is higher. Anybody else stand out? I guess Kirby Puckett died younger. His stuff's a little higher. Anybody else stand out of guys that have been around in the last 30 years or so?
Tony Gwynn, you know, I mean, your value in autographs, we always tell people, is in dead people, and the deader the better.
The earlier that they pass away, the less autographs out there, and it's all supply and demand, and there's always Hall of Fame autograph collectors. So, that's like what Roberto Clemente is. He died at a young age. He was doing a
humanitarian
service
thing. Yeah. Yes.
Died in a plane crash. He had a cool signature. I've got a really nice, there's a cut signature that came through Triple Crown, a Roberto Clemente cut signature that's absolutely beautiful. I would imagine this would be perfect for a card company if they wanted to weave a card around this. It's a big one. It would have to be, I would think it would probably fit in a horizontal card. I mean, what a great signature. He had such a flair about the way he played, and he even has a cool signature. Yep.
There's just some people that come along once a generation that you watch them play, and you could just, your eyes are glued to just watching them run, hustle,
right,
hit, swing the bat, everything.
Throwing, he did
amazing.
Everything.
Just
he literally did everything.
It's like Schwarber in a way, the way he just bats it. There's something there that's
fun to
just
watch.
Special.
Without a doubt.
Yep.
He's a power hitter. I wonder what they're going to do with Schwarber. You know, if they're going to just keep playing him in left field, or if they're going to think of trading him to the to be a DH? I mean, he makes some good plays in left, but then he looks questionable in left on some plays.
Versus trading him to American League team, I'd rather try to have the DH come to the National League versus, I don't want to get rid of Schwarber.
I think the Cubs were pushing for that, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen, does it? That would make so much sense.
But it would.
I don't quite get why they don't just have it in both leagues, but I guess that's whatever. It must be the players' associations or whatever. I would think the players' association actually would want that, though. What they should do is up the roster a little bit. That's what the players' association should work for, so you can have more pitchers and still have guys on your bench.
Yep. Yeah, I know you're talking about Whitey Ford. You interviewed him a bunch of times. Now, was he part of that clan of those kind of those partier after the game guys?
He hung around a lot with Mickey Mantle, and I think Moose Scourin went out with him some. Oh, Billy Martin,
right,
too. It was Mantle, Martin, and Ford, I think, had some pretty wild times. But Whitey Ford tried to downplay it some when he was on the interviews. He'd be like, "Yeah, I mean, we had some good times, but you know, there." What did he say that Mantle played some more games than just about anybody in history at the time for the Yankees?
Right.
So that obviously they weren't going out all the time, but you would hear the publicity was about, you know, where Mantle hit a home run, hung over, he didn't even go to bed or whatever.
Right,
they did have some of those nights. Can you imagine them going wild in the 50s in New York, though? They run of the town. Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely.
Well, it's time for a short break. The number's 312-332-3776. We're on till 8. You can call us if you have a question about the value of your collectible. And you'll get in a drawing for a box of 2017 Upper Deck Goodwin Champions that has all kinds of stuff in it, in addition to having a chance for a Michael Jordan autograph card. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, along with our producer, Eric Ostrowski. We're on Saturday mornings from 7 to 8. You can call us if you have a question about the value of a collectible. 312-332-3776 is the number you can call here. And you get in a drawing for this week's prize, the 2017 Upper Deck Goodwin Champions box. It has three hits per box, all kinds of stuff you can get in there.
It's a fun product to open.
It really is a fun product to open.
Yes.
So three products, and Vince will do the drawing. And whoever the winner is, they just have to email Vince at ERC Delivery by Thursday, and Vince will set up with his company, ERC Delivery, a free delivery right to your door. So it's a really, you don't have to do anything. You just sit there in your recliner and
just
call
send
us
me an email.
And then send Vince the email, and then it's all set up. All right.
And Vince will even help you open the box.
Yeah,
I will.
If you want him to, he'll open it before it gets there.
Actually starting a new side business, you know, opening up packs of cards for people who might have arthritic conditions in their fingers.
Then drooling on their cards and wishing you could have them.
No. I can control myself that much.
Yeah, okay. That would be a fun thing to do, actually. Okay, some other items that are in the Huggins and Scott Fall Auction. This is part of a nice collection. This guy had some beautiful 1965 Topps cards that Huggins and Scott got a few of them graded. This was a Steve Carlton rookie card, number 477. Got a PSA 8 grade with a $200 minimum bid. He's fourth all-time on the strikeout list with 4,136 career strikeouts. This year that he had in 1972 is one of the best years ever by a pitcher, especially for a pitcher on a bad team. I think he won almost half the wins they had. 1972, Carlton was 27-10 with a 1.97 ERA, 0.983 whip, a 182 ERA plus, which is just off the charts. 100 is average. 310 Ks and 346 innings pitched. It's amazing at that time, back in that era, how many pitchers would pitch close to 300 innings or over 300 innings. And now the watermark, it seems like, he pitched over 200 innings every year. It's so much less than what they used to do. And to me, it's made one loss record's way less of a big deal because so much of it, if you're only going six innings, typically yeah. that it's all on the bullpen then to get the win or the loss for you. Now, the guys who go deeper, like Verlander type, their one-loss records, to me, make a little more, have a little more clout behind them. Right. But some of these guys, I mean, it's they put it right in the hands of the
Do you think bullpen. The lack of finishing games is more because the guys in the past were more durable, healthier, or played through pains better?
I think part of it is that they just played
in training.
I think the old days kids would play baseball all summer long and they'd stretch their arms out. And I don't think they're doing as much of that now. I think they get on traveling teams and you're a pitcher.
Right.
And they start just pitching, you know, at a young age or mainly pitching and throwing too many breaking balls early in their careers. And maybe some of the pitches that they're pitching are harder on their arms too, but I don't think they do enough long toss type throwing and just playing baseball when they're younger. Just like all the, do you ever, when you're driving around, like in the summertime, do you see a bunch of kids just playing baseball unless it's an organized thing?
Or unless I'm part of it, I've done it a few times with some kids.
I mean,
you really don't see it that much.
I think that's part of it. I don't think their arms have been built up to the ability to do that as much as it used to be. And it seems like the more they pay the guys, they've got so much invested, the teams into these arms, they want to make sure the arms last as long as they can. And I don't know if they might be
hurting them in the process.
It might be actually hurting them when they're trying to help them. Who knows what it actually is, but that's what it seems like to me. If I had a young guy that was a good pitcher now, though, I sure wouldn't want to have him throwing breaking pitches. If you're a really good little league type pitcher, I'd say the days that you pitch fastball, changeup, and never give a changeup to a bad hitter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you have a good fastball and you're young like that, they can't. The bad hitters, just keep throwing the fastball. Yeah. They're not going to hit it. Yeah. Steve's on the road. What's up, Steve?
Morning.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
What's up? What do you have?
I've got a picture of Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin from the late 70s in Atlantic City, New Jersey, and they were involved in opening one of the casinos. I believe it was Resorts International, and they were down there doing a promotion, and they had a softball game between two teams, and one team was named Old Red Eyes, the other team was named Old Blue Eyes.
Okay.
And so Dean's got a blue t-shirt on with Old Blue Eyes, and Frank's got one with Old Red Eyes. Or, I'm sorry, the opposite.
The other way around,
the other way around. And they've got a Galliano bottle that they're using to determine who bats first. So they're going up with their fists and their fingers to determine who's going to bat first. And I obtained the picture through a buddy of mine who was a beat reporter for the Atlantic City Press.
So it was a type one photo. Is it happen to be signed by the two of them?
It does not.
Oh, that would have been big time. Bill Huggins, is this an 8x10 photo or what size is the?
Yeah, it's 8x10. Uh-huh.
Okay, Bill Huggins, an 8x10 type one photo of Sinatra and Dean Martin from the late 70s. And then how much would it be if the two of them had signed it at the time?
Oh, gosh. The photo is probably, Steve, somewhere in the neighborhood of, $50 to $100, I'm guessing, if the right person likes the whole story behind how it does. Signed, you can add a couple zeros to that for sure.
Yeah.
If you get Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin to sign that, if you could have got them to sign that thing's several thousand dollars, if not,
Yeah, that would have been a biggie. It's a neat display piece, a good item. That's definitely one for if you have a bar at home that Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra would fit right in.
Or if you could get two cut signatures and frame them underneath that photo.
That would be really good. Yeah, that would look great, and that would have, of course, those cuts would cost you something, but I think
once
you put it together, it'd probably be worth more than just what those two cuts cost you. That'd be interesting to see what, that would be a nice Huggins and Scott auction item, that's for sure. Brent from Joliet's on the line. What do you have there, Brent?
Hey, I got a Little League lineup card that Carlton Fisk autographed on the back side. My uncle was his son's Little League coach.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant when, from back when Carlton Fisk was in Little League, that he's that would have been something. Okay, so Fisk signed a Little League card. That's probably $20 or $30. Carlton Fisk has a lot of signatures out there, and that one wouldn't be worth a fortune. Next on the line, we have Sam from Park Ridge. What's new, Sam?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Hi.
What I have is a complete set. It's my pop of 1963 Topps baseball cards.
Ooh, that's nice. Do you know the what the Pete Rose rookie card, what type of condition that's in?
It's in good condition, plus condition. I don't know if it's in perfect condition, but...
So all the cards are pretty nice. Bill Huggins, what do you think a 63 Topps card, and how important is the condition of the Rose rookie for the value of that set?
No, Sam, that'd be a great lot. I mean, if you could take that into Tom's store, he could certainly give you an evaluation of the condition of the key cards in that set, which is totally going to be the determining factor as to how much money it would turn into. But you could easily have thousands of dollars there in that set, depending on how the key cards would grade. But like I said, Tom could certainly give you a good idea once he saw them as to what condition they're in.
And Sam, when you do something like that, okay, let's say the Pete Rose was like, wow, this thing has a shot for an 8 or a 9 or whatever, like it's really nice. You send the set to Huggins and Scott and they go through them and they pick out the ones that are worth getting graded where it would help the value, and they get them graded for you. And then they just subtract it off the money that you have coming, but they get a real good price on the grading also. So it works out real well. But yeah, that would be really valuable. And the Pete Rose, or some people call it the Al Weiss rookie. 4 floating heads on a card. Now that was a higher number card. So I imagine that there's not a million of those around like some of the other, cards out there, you know, in the first couple series, not that there were millions then, but there's less of the Rose card probably than some of the other series of cards that are out there. Here's a kind of an interesting Twitter item from Jeff. 1937 Chicago Cubs promo visor. I haven't seen one of these before, Bill Huggins. You see the programs and the scorecards and tickets from 37. But I've never seen this visor before. Do you think that would be valuable enough to try in a Huggins and Scott auction?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just the visor. Then maybe, I mean, if you had maybe a program or a ticket stub to go with it, that could be a really nice little.
That would be a good lot for sure then. Yeah, it's just a visor. And actually, it says Chicago Cubs real bold on it. And the pictures almost look more like a picture that would be with a Chicago Bears team item. So kind of a interesting item, though. I've never seen that before. It'd be interesting to see what that would sell for sure. And then John sends a tweet here. He has Mantle and Musial on an Amana VIP golf pro-am from early 70s in Iowa City. Nice, clean, and large SIG. So it's Mantle and Musial. I guess it's an Amana VIP ticket maybe to the Pro-Am that they signed, Bill Huggins, at a couple $100 maybe with Mantle and Musial together?
Yeah, and is it just the two of them or maybe more guys?
It looks like from the tweet that it's just the two of them, but he didn't send a picture of it, so it's hard to tell for sure on that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but if it is just the two of them and it's some sort of a ticket from that, then it's probably, I would think, in the $200 to $300 range. Ben from Northfield is on the line. What's new, Ben?
How are you doing?
Good.
Good.
What's up?
I've got a big framed three college basketball jerseys, all signed individually by Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, and Larry Bird. So there's three jerseys individually signed and framed.
Oh, I see. So each jersey is in its own frame.
All three in one big frame.
Oh, that's got to be a big frame. It's their college jerseys.
It is a big frame.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it is a big frame.
That would
be like 3.5 by 4 feet, something like that.
Wow. Well, it would be, I would think, well over $1,000, but it would be that's one that's kind of, you have to have in a store almost on display because of the size of it. Don't you think, Bill Huggins, that would be a tough one to auction unless you worked out some sort of a pickup thing or something?
Yeah, the shipping on that would be certainly creative, that's for sure.
Yeah, and usually, I mean, unless it's like something that's over $10,000 or more, when you have a huge item that's going to have a ton of shipping, it's kind of tough to do it. Let's see now. We've got Danny from Norridge on the line. Thanks for waiting, Danny. What do you have?
Good morning, guys. I found this. My grandfather had left me a lot of stuff. I'm going through things one at a time here. A 1959 Ernie Banks Home Run Derby card. It was signed by him, and it was authenticated. I thought it was PSA. It's SCG who authenticated it.
Oh, so a 59 it tops, or that's no, not man. Tops. It's a 59 no, it's not Home tops. Run Derby card, though. I don't remember ever seeing that card. Remember that TV show? Have you ever seen the reruns
of
that?
Where they bunch of times.
I think they were at, was it Wrigley Field in California that they did that Home Run Derby where they shot those at? And then the guys would go sit next to the announcer and
talk to them. In between innings.
Yeah. That was, I think that's pretty cool, actually. I don't know if it would be much over $100, but Bill Huggins is there.
Oh, that would be a lot more than those Home Run Derby cards.
They're big, huh? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, sure. That would be a great item.
Okay.
The card itself isn't graded. It looks like it would be maybe between a 3 and 4, and the autograph is very bold. They just authenticated it as authentic.
Okay. So, Bill Huggins, do you run those Home Run Derby cards like by on their own sometimes?
Yes, a lot of them. They're very hard to get.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen them, so that's pretty cool. That would definitely be a good Huggins and Scott auction item then, Danny, if you ever want to bring it into Triple Crown in Naperville, and we'll send it there. Maybe, you know, when next baseball season starts sometime next spring, it'd be good to auction it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. We're already at the end here, man.
It goes by so fast.
It was so weird with the dark and the rain and stuff out here, but people were still walking by.
Absolutely, waving and all that, taking pictures.
Well, time to do the drawing. Pictures.
This week's winner is Tim from Elwood Park. So, Tim, email me your address, vince@ercdelivery.com, by Thursday, and I'll deliver to your door free of charge.
They'll set it up. Well, they'll get it to you. Now, don't forget, you can go to HugginsAndScott.com. And check out, they have tons of stuff up there for their fall auction. Bidding begins October 30th and goes through November 9th. And I'm Tom Morgan. I'm at Triple Crown in Naperville 6 days a week. I'll be there 10 to 3:30 today if you have items. Even if you just want to show me, we take a picture of a cool item and put it on Twitter. T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.